Right. So we have a couple of readings from the Bible that I'd like to invite Stuart and also Amy to bring to us.
First reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 11. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make a lasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it.
The next reading is Colossians 3, 12 to 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Right. Thank you for that. I'm going to need some help with what's coming up. And I've got some beautiful helpers who I've already primed. So those of you who I've asked already, could you please come and join me at the front? Anastasia, that is you. Excellent. Mike, can we have the PowerPoint, please? Okay. Right. You guys can just take a seat. Thank you. No, you can stay there. Sorry. You can just read it from where you are. Sorry. Excellent. So as it says up there, this morning we are looking at the topic of the Word of God. What is the Word of God? Oh, turn that on, it would help. Right. What is the Word of God? I mean, don't know about you, but sometimes this is a term that gets bandied around a lot. Is it God's own voice?
Hello, is anyone there?
Is it the Bible? Is it Jesus?
I am the way, the truth,
and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me.
So, is it the word of is it God's own voice? Is it the Bible or is it Jesus? What is the word of God? Well, you'll be glad to know that the answer is yes. Yes, they are the word of God. This is what the church has believed throughout its whole history. Now, you guys, thank you, but you can stay there. We'll start with with God's own voice.
Hello? Hello? Is anyone there?
This is God communicating for himself, his self-communication. God's own words spoken by him. Now, in Hebrew, in the Old Testament, this usually means the word davar. And that's what it looks like in Hebrew. Now, this is a bit of a complicated word. It means word, but it also means thing. And in some mystical ways, the Hebrews began to think that Devar Elohim, or Devar Adonai, the word of Yahweh, had a peculiar life of its own in the world. So the way it's used in Hebrew requires several different words in English to translate and convey all the possible range of meanings from the Hebrew. So I'll just read you a few of those words to give you a flavor of how this is translated. Account, act, acts, advice, affair, agreement, amount, answer, anything, asked. Because, business, case, cause, charge, chronicles, claims, command, commandments, commands, compliments, concerned, concerning, conclusion, conditions, conduct, conferred, consultation, conversation, counsels, custom, customs, dealing, decree, deed, defect, desires, dispute, doings, duty. Edict, eloquent, event, fulfillment, harm, idea, instructed, instructions. Manner, matter, message, nothing, oath, obligations, one of the promises, order, past, pertains, plan, plot, portion, promise, proposal, proposed, proven, purpose, question, ration, reason, records, regard, render, reply, report, reported, request, required, requires, rule, said, same thing, saying, says, so much, some, something, song, speak, speech. Talk, talking, task, theme, thing, things at your word, things of the word, this, thought, threats, thus, told, trouble, verdict, way, what, whatever, word, words, and work required. So, you get an idea of where we're going, perhaps. Now, in the New Testament, you've probably heard that the word for word is the word logos. And this is used in much the same way as the Hebrew word devar, about God's own voice. But of course, in John's Gospel, John uses it to speak about the person of Jesus Christ. The Greek people at the time would have understood it to be a philosophical term that said something about the underlying nature of reality, in much the same way that the mystical sense of the word devar functioned. The Greeks wouldn't have thought about it in relation to God, though. So when Jesus is called the underlying principle of reality, this is a bit novel. So we come to God's word not only as his self-communication, but also as his self-revelation. It is God himself, who is addressing humankind. God says, I am who I am. And God spoke all these words.
I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other God before me.
This is God himself speaking to us. Our second point about the word of God is how God speaks through people. Now, first of all, He speaks to people. For example, you've heard before. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord with Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. This is assuming that God will speak to people. That God does speak to people. And of course, this takes concrete form in the scriptures, which the Bible is now our compilation, and where what God was saying to people gets written down. Just as God spoke to Samuel, people have written down what God was saying to them. And so, when God speaks through agents, people like us, such as prophets, and the Holy Spirit, who is here inspiring the writer of the text, this also can be considered the word of God. A further scripture is a witness to revelation. So it is not revelation itself. The Bible is a witness to God's revelation. So when God reveals himself to us, it is through the Bible, not in the Bible. It's a bit of a difficult distinction, perhaps, but that is why the Word of God is living and active. It is interpreted through preaching. It is a living word preached. So when we read in the letter of Hebrews that the Word of God is living and active, this is what it means. It is alive here and now among us when we talk about Jesus. God continues to search out the minds and hearts of those who seek to follow him. Also, here from Psalm 119, we have many examples of how the law and the scriptures are treated as the word of God. So if I could have number one.
How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word.
And number two.
I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
And number three.
My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word.
And number four. And number five. And number six.
The Lord exists forever. Your word is firmly fixed in heaven.
And number seven. Your word is a light to my path, a lamp to my feet. I think we've heard that a few times over the last few weeks. This is how it becomes the word of God shared amongst us, both from me as a preacher, but also as we speak it out over each other. It is alive. Thirdly, and in the greatest way, the word of God is Jesus.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me.
Jesus is the word of God. As we heard from John's Gospel, the beginning, chapters 1 to 3. Logos, the thing that was before all creation, who is himself God. But John also tells us in verse 14 of chapter 1 that the word became flesh. This overarching principle of reality that somehow we cannot comprehend became one of us. He became just like you and me. Jesus Christ is both the word of God in both speech and action, by what he says and by what he does, which is why the church has always valued the four Gospels. All that Jesus did while he was here on earth, his incarnation, his ministry, his suffering and death, and the resurrection, all of these are the word of God to us. Now, we still say sometimes that words have power. Although perhaps for most of us, we probably don't think about the power that our own words carry. But perhaps we can begin to see how the words we speak, especially when we speak of Jesus, share in the true nature of Christ himself, the Word of God. So when we heard the reading this morning, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. This is what we mean. All of this is that going on around us is life lived in Christ. Let the word of God dwell in us richly. That is the word of God's own voice, the witness of the Holy Spirit, the words of the scripture that testify about Jesus and reveal God to us in him, and the person of Jesus Christ himself, our loving relationship with him in the here and now. And of course, this is what we heard and saw in the video that I showed at the beginning. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. For those of us who do not put into practice and follow and believe in the word of God, we will be like that foolish man. And so, as the word of Christ and the word himself dwells in us richly, we should also put them into practice. And this, of course, is what we are supposed to be doing for the rest of the Holy Habits season, putting the words of Jesus into practice, in fellowship, in prayer, in breaking of bread, in worship and sharing resources, in gladness and generosity of spirit, serving, eating together, and making more disciples. So in response to this, perhaps we could stand together. And if we are able to stand, or if we are able also to sing, we can declare our faith in the word of God alive to us today.